I love that we're on while First Take is on the TV. Nothing makes me happier than watching Stephen A. Smith. It's always on mute in here because I got stuff that I want to do and notes that I want to read and all these things during the breaks. But I love watching Stephen A. Smith while doing a radio show because some of the facial expressions, they kill me. By the way, a happy would have been 96th birthday today to the king, B.B. King.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Gone too soon. That's the only time I'll disagree with Stephen A. Smith. Yeah,
we do care. We do care.
We do care about B.B. King. 615-737-1045. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us shortly and continue this Vols conversation. But first, we go to your phone call. Scott, one of our favorites in Bethpage, has chimed in. He wants to talk about the Vols. What's up, Scott?
Hey, good morning, man. It's always fun to pretend like I'm as important as you guys. Lucas on D-back with I went to the spring game, watched him. When I go to the spring game, I like to watch the guys warm up, go through the motions and stuff like that. He was the only running back in the whole room that looked like he was just lifeless during the drills. So my opinion on that is we're not going to see him, and it's probably based purely on work ethic. That's just my thoughts. Now, I may be completely wrong, but he looked lifeless in the drills. So that's where I'm at with him, and we didn't really see much out of him in the spring game, so it tells me he's not a very hard worker. We desperately, and I didn't realize it until we got to the game and watched the line, we desperately missed Cooper Mays at the center position.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why we missed him so much was because Carvin wasn't where he was supposed to be. And Carvin done a good job. He done a great job at the center spot, but you could really tell there was something off there. And as far as Milton, Buck, I have to 100% agree with you. You were 1,000% right on that. I was hoping to God you're wrong because, you know, we really want that big, strong athlete running back. It would have been nice to have had that opportunity to get to watch that. But the accuracy is just not going to be there. And so it's going to be Hendon Hooker, and he's going to have to learn to get down in the grass when he runs football. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Scott. I take no pleasure in being, at least I think so far, right about what Joe Milton is. There was too much body of work so far to not think that he wasn't going to have the same kind of problems that plagued him at Michigan, outside of course, the thumb injury, as we've documented at length. So let's see what's going on in East Tennessee. Let's go to Knoxville and talk to our buddy who it's every time he comes on, I'm going to say this. I don't know when I'm going to get it used to the fact that you are of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam Sparks, our guest now here on 104.5 The Zone. But eventually, I'm going to come to peace with it. I don't know if you have yet or not.
It's growing on me slowly, but yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm getting used to all of it.
So let's start with the quarterback position. I know that you are objective journalist and that opinion isn't necessarily something that you do the way that we like to do it. But for all I can watch and all I can see, Sparks, from afar, I don't understand how they can go back to Joe Milton after how badly he aired throughout the course of that Pitt game, even if he is healthy. Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, I mean, somewhere in here, Josh Heupel is either going to decide that he is finally the guy to fix the problem of Joe Milton's lack of touch on deep balls, or he's going to have to admit that this is an unfixable problem and he needs to move on. I will say there's another layer to this that I think that, this is probably a pretty good sports talk question or topic, is that should we rely on coaches that know more than fans to tell us what the right decision is, or should we say fans, as simplistic as they are, maybe even reporters as we are, sometimes is the simplest answer the easiest one?
Yeah.
Or do coaches overthink things? But I bring this up because if you look at Joe Milton's issues, they're the most visible mistake in Neyland Stadium Saturday. Everybody there can see, hey, that guy's wide open. All you have to do is throw it out there. I could do that, and you still missed it. That's the obvious thing. Everybody can see it. It's the most visible mistake. Hendon Hooker comes in, plays pretty well. But on that fourth and one play, you sort of get hints after the game from Heupel, and then some of the players after in the next week, this week, that there was some mistakes in communication that messed up that play. They ran the same play, that fourth and one, they ran the same play earlier in the game with Milton in the game, and it worked. I think that may have been Jabari Small's touchdown in the first quarter. The takeaway there is Milton had the correct read and had the right communication with the offensive line, and Hooker didn't. You can say because Hooker wasn't used to playing, so there's a little bit of an adjustment there. But I just say that to say a coach that maybe is thinking next level on this is thinking, well, you guys saw the mistakes that Milton made. I know the mistakes from film that Hooker made, and so maybe it makes it a little harder decision. But yeah, I mean, the simple way to look at this is the offense moved better with Hooker. There's, you know, he can run the ball, he can throw it well enough. He's not making enormous mistakes.
Right.
And Milton was.
Well, no, it's a great question that you pose, because, you know, it's like watching, for example, I'll just use the Tennessee Titans for an example, right? When the offensive line gives up 5 sacks, and immediately you look at them and call them dogs, except you don't know what the protections were set for, whether they're a 3-step drop, a 5-step drop, or a 7-step drop, and whether the quarterback is holding it too long for the protection to hold up. Like, all these things that factor into the nuances of football that, you know, fans and media sitting in the press box, we don't necessarily know. I can't help but think that even as those mistakes were probably made on the field, that the flow of the game was not better once Hendon Hooker was inserted. Anyway, with the skill position players, Adam, I'm curious as to what your observations have been from the way that they've kind of started as an offense. I think Jalin Hyatt was one of the most hyped up players, by myself being one of these people who hyped him up preseason and thought that he may be one of their best playmakers on the field. So far, it's been a bit underwhelming with the drops. You look at Velus Jones Jr., who hasn't necessarily factored into the passing game in a big way quite yet, but was one of the darlings of this offseason. What have you made of the skill position players on this roster and their contribution so far?
Well, I mean, you know, we have to put the quarterback in on this too,
right?
That they've used two different quarterbacks, and, you know, Cedric Tillman was missed on what should have been 2 touchdowns in the opener. And he got a touchdown later, but that should have probably been a 3-touchdown game for him. And then he was missed on the wide open, you know, there was 4 or 5 deep balls that Milton missed last game, but the most egregious was one to Tillman. Cedric Tillman should have 4 touchdowns and about 350 yards receiving right now.
Yeah.
Instead, he's got 3 catches for 68 yards. So, you know, and that's sort of another layer to the quarterback conversation is I think this receiving core is pretty good. I don't think it's not one of these, you know, wide receiver U type things that UT has had in years past where, you know, you've got a first, second round picks in the wide receiving core. But I think Jalin Hyatt has a lot of potential. I think Velus Jones is solid. I think Cedric Tillman is pretty good. I think you can go on down the list. And, I mean, Jimmy Callaway is probably going to be the best of the bunch, or maybe. I think there's some depth to this receiving core. And the fact that you can't get quarterback figured out is doing a disservice to what should be the strength of this offense. You know, the jury's out on Tyon Evans because he had 120 yards in the opener against Bowling Green at running back and rushing yards. And Jabari Small had 116 rushing in that game. Evans was out last week. We'll see if he's back this week. Small got hurt halfway through last week. So there's sin at running back, and we're not going to know what that's going to be until they get deeper into SEC play. But, and that's sort of everything with the offense. I mean, they've scored 30-plus in both of these games, and they'll score a ton against Tennessee Tech. But everything that positive that we can say about the offense, that's fine. I want to see it in the swamp. I want to see it even more so against Missouri and Kentucky and South Carolina and comparable opponents before I can say what a strength is on that offense. But so far, so good with Heupel's offense.
Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. At Adam Sparks is where you can follow him for your Vols coverage. Yeah, I mean, to your point, going back to Cedric Tillman, they had one completion over 20 yards in that game, and certainly they had the opportunity for many, many more than that based on how many open vertical shots Heupel was able to scheme up.
Well, and I think that's sort of that's another thing where Heupel seems like a very patient guy. I think he's a pretty sincere guy. At some point, his patience as a play caller could run thin. Because, you know, and I wrote about this in Newsend on the Tennessean the other day, about diagramming a few plays to where things were set up in the right tempo, the right timing, the right coverage. The miss to Cedric Tillman in that play was a sluggo route where you could see where the safety and the corner were confused to get him wide open. In all the tempo, Pitt had 12 men on the field and was running a guy off. Play action was perfectly set up. You could tell that Josh Heupel spent 5 or 10 plays setting up that play to be wide open, and then it was. And when you're a play caller and you look at your quarterback and say, I set this up to work, all you have to do is throw the ball correctly, and then an opportunity is missed. His patience has not run out against Bowling Green or Pitt. It will run out if Joe Milton is in the swamp and it's a one-score game and Joe Milton misses 3 wide-open receivers that Josh Heupel designed a play for him to see,
right,
and he misses them. That's where you're going to see a quarterback change if they don't make it before then.
Adam, did D. Beckwith ever exist? Was he just a figment of our imagination the whole time?
Yeah, that's kind of one of those. The epitome of the UT fan base that I found out here is the guy that's not playing, and it's Harrison Bailey and D. Beckwith.
Best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, D. Beckwith is, they thought he'd be the power back. They had a chance to use him as a power back. They haven't. That tells me that there's not a trust in him to be out there. And then Harrison Bailey, I could tell you, maybe it's reached out there, but in Knoxville, if you want to start a fight in any public setting, just say Harrison Bailey, good or bad, and you'll get some pretty strong opinions either way, because right now he's, you have a segment of the fan base that says, hey, the guy's terrible. That's why he's number 3. These first two guys are not good, and he's number 3. What does that tell you? And then you have the other side that says, I think he's Peyton Manning. He's probably they're putting Peyton Manning at number 3 on the depth chart,
yeah.
And this Josh Heupel should be fired for doing that. You get extremes on both sides of that argument.
God, I love this fan base. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel here with us on 104.5 The Zone, talking Vols ahead of Tennessee Tech this weekend. The thing that looks, of all of the things that may be damning about them right now, Sparks, it's the fact that they've committed 5 turnovers to start this season. Their turnover margin so far through 2 games is -5 in the turnover differential. They are coughing up the ball in unfavorable situations, the fumbles being the worst of the problems so far. But more than anything, they're not causing them. What are you seeing from this defense and their lack thereof of turnovers that they're able to cause?
Yeah, and what's strange about that is that they're trying to be a pressure defense. I do like that about that their approach is, we're going to bring pressure, we're going to blitz, but it's not happening when they need it to happen. And you get a lot of turnovers on third down. You get guys that are trying for the sticks and, leave the ball out there, and that's where the ball gets poked out on fumbles. That's where you get risky throws by opposing quarterbacks. You pick them off. UT, the vast majority of their TFLs and their sacks have come on first and second down. So the pressure is getting there at a decent pace on early downs. It's not getting there on third down. I do like the approach. I think it's going to come. For one, they're better in zone than they are in man. Now, they believe in man in their scheme, and they try man, and we'll see if they stick with that in SEC play against better teams. But Alante Taylor is a very good corner, and he'll play in the NFL, but he's better in zone than he is press man. And so, there's a certain way that you have to run a scheme to get turnovers in zone as opposed to just picking balls off press man. I think this defensive coaching staff is sort of adjusting to that. I'm maybe a little concerned about the lack of takeaways, but I think that'll be fixed before the end of the year.
So with that being said, Sparks, understanding that we don't yet know who will start for them at quarterback against Tennessee Tech, it may not matter, but they can't afford to look over or sleep on anybody at this point. What's the one thing you need to see them build upon from last week against Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, it has to be quarterback, though. I mean, it really has to be. Everything that you look at towards SEC play hinges on what they do at the quarterback position. Josh Heupel's got to make he's got to make a decision of what he's going to do, of how, if he cares about the fan base and the reaction, which maybe he doesn't, he's going to have to decide what he does here. And I do like how he's sort of hedging his bets, because he said Joe Milton is back at practice, but he's still nicked up, and we're going to see. So he could play hooker and say, well, we didn't replace – Milton didn't lose his job. It's just that he was too injured, so we went with Hooker. But if Hooker plays really, really well, then you can have Hooker be the starter. If he plays poorly, you can say, well, I never replaced Joe Milton. He was just injured. So there's a number of ways you can do it here. Maybe the worst way that could turn out for him is if he plays Harrison Bailey for the second half against Tech and he's, 17 of 20 for 200 yards and two touchdowns, and people are going to say, well, you've got to start him in the swamp now because he just lit up Tennessee Tech. that would turn this even worse in Josh Heupel's way. But it's not just who you play at quarterback. It's how you use them and who you trot out there for what that says to the team going into the swamp next week.
God, I love the idea that they might play, if just as a hypothetical exercise, the idea that they would play Harrison Bailey in the second half and that he would, in fact, look like Peyton Manning against an opponent like Tennessee Tech. Nothing would make me happier. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel. Subscribe to the Knoxville News Sentinel for great journalism like he and our buddy Mike Wilson are constantly producing. At Adam Sparks on the socials is where you can follow him. Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Oh, lot to get into ahead of SEC play for Tennessee. And again, I'm saying it so often that they cannot afford to overlook Tennessee Tech, just for my own purposes, to remind myself that they cannot afford to overlook Tennessee Tech, because I am fascinated to see what kind of shape they are in ahead of going to Florida, ahead of playing in the swamp. How close, because we know that they're not going to be competitive against Florida and Alabama and the kind of higher quality opponent, Georgia, the kind of higher quality opponent that they will have to find ways to eventually reach, right? This is not the year that we will see these kind of upsets, given all the deficiencies that we're talking about, against much, much, much worse teams.
Yeah, you're not in the game against Alabama, regardless of quarterback play.
No, that's because we had a call basically saying, do you think that Josh Heupel thinks it's the difference between playing competitively against Florida and Alabama, Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker? And I had some comments immediately after that, both texted to me and phoned in even during the commercial break, with the outrage that somebody would even think that they're capable of competing with Alabama right now. It is it's a funny existence that Vols fans seem to have right now. But if you're going to make the quarterback switch, now is the time to do it, because if you want to get him comfortable, him being Hendon Hooker, with the level of competition that, or with the exercise basically of the operation of this offense, where you're talking about struggling to communicate with the offensive line and setting protections, things of that nature, now is the time against an opponent like Tennessee Tech that you would be comfortable not experimenting, but trying those things and working on those things in a live game setting. We will see. When we come back, we will talk about the wide receivers in this Tennessee offense in particular. Some thoughts from the head coach on the skill position players and what exactly is happening with the quarterbacks and their lack of chemistry with these guys on the field. We'll talk about it coming up next. Your phone calls as well if you want to weigh in. Who should start? Who should this coaching staff start on Saturday against Tennessee Tech ahead of Florida? 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.